Let's go to the star map. We're studying Scorpio. Okay, the Egyptian name, we've studied the Hebrew name of this, and we've studied a lot about Scorpio thus far, but we're going to look at some other things now. The Egyptian name of Scorpio is Isidis, or Isidis, I-S-I-D-I-S. And it means, the word means the attack or the oppression of the enemy. And the same idea is expressed in the Psalms. In Psalm 17, it says, "The wicked that oppress me, my deadly enemies who compass me about." And the idea that we will see now is that there's all, as I've talked about, there's all kinds of little creepy, crawly things. And we're going to start looking into myths and the source of myths. And Daryl and I were talking earlier, why metaphor in many instances is the only way to understand truth. And so, but the idea that when you look at that star map, when you look at the scriptures, when you look at life, all there is a bunch of little creepy, crawly irritants. And that's what we're addressing. Okay?
Are you going to go into that, why metaphor is...
Yeah. "The wicked that oppress me, my deadly enemies who compass me about." Now, compass means to surround. That's why you're not surprised. And he wasn't surprised. You don't think it's a strange thing. Things don't go exactly as you think they should. You got it? It's the trial of your faith that's precious. That's the only reason you're here, for a trial. Not a trial like you're going to be found guilty or innocent, but a trial or a tempting by which you will be put to the test for the purposes of approving. He is approved. That's all you have to remember. Okay? The Arabic name is interesting. It's Al-Akrab, A-K-R-A-F, R-A-B. And in the Hebrew, in the Arabic, it means wounding him that cometh, or wounding the desired one, wounding him that's coming. Now, in that constellation, there are 44 stars. There's only one of the first magnitude, and it's called Antares. And it's the brightest one that's in this, and it's normally that it's the bright red star that you see in the sky. You'll see it tonight. In fact, tonight, a little bit later, the moon will be setting. And when you look up, you'll see Antares almost in juxtaposition to the moon. And you'll see Jupiter also. And so it's one of these weird confluences, or convergence of planets and stars. But it's Antares and the moon and Jupiter all, you'll see them probably about the time we quit Bible study, if you look off to the west. The Latin name of that star, Antares, and it's the brightest, reddest star that you can see in the heavens. And it means, the Latin name is Cor Scorpii, which means the scorpion's heart. And when you look at it through a telescope, it shines with a deep, deep red. And it fascinated ancient astronomers. I mean, why is the different colors? Why, because they didn't understand wavelengths and all that. Now, let's look at the sting of the scorpion. The brightest star in the sting is called, in Hebrew, Lesath. Or in Chaldean, it's Lesa, which means, it means the perverse. And we're going to talk about stings a lot here in a minute.
That's just wild that the translation would be so clear,
Yeah, the perverse. The sting is the perverse. Now the sign, everything about Scorpio reveals something, and that it is the malignant mortal enemy of the seed of woman. Now, it's symbolized in the scripture. Remember when we studied Abraham, we found out that the moment Abraham was born, through whom the seed would come, the serpent in the guise of Nimrod went out and killed 70,000 babies. In Exodus, when Moses was born, who would be a threat to the God of this world, and he'd be a threat to the devil in the person of Pharaoh, the first thing that happened was that Pharaoh went out and destroyed all the babies. Now you got to see that that's the lot. I mean, everything in time and space is trying to destroy the seed of woman, including you. You are a mortal enemy. Your mind is a mortal enemy of the seed of woman. It's a mortal enemy of the seed of Christ. Ever and always will be. Paul said in Romans, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Now that's a given that you have to begin to see. Otherwise, you'll be deceived in everything you do. You'll be deceived by every little thing that happens to you. You will judge your circumstances by right and wrong. You will look at life through very narrow windows. The more insecure you are, the narrower the window by which you look at life is. If you do not know who you are, you look at life through a window that's about a millisecond long. And if somebody even looks at you weird, it puts you on a trip. You get a little bit more secure, a little bit more sure. The test has been more and more complete. The window widens. And you may be able to be in peace for 10, 15, 20 minute segments. And things don't affect you. The more and more you're secure, the more and more you're confident of who you are, then the window that you look at life through is all of eternity, and nothing in time and space can touch you.
I guess this is probably the same thing, but that's how I've been, like, my image of God has been going. At first it was this little thing, and the more that it happens, it's like I can't say, use this definition for God anymore, this definition for God. It's just...
Can you remember a time when it was like that for you, that was 15 minutes of peace, and then boom, and then...
Not since I've been a believer, but again, I've been more fortunate because, you know, God has given each one of us the three graces to see. And, you know, I mean, you can't condemn yourself. You're where you are, but I promise you that the length of that window, the width of the window, every day as you abide in honesty is widening. That's what I was trying to... I mean, we don't look at life the way the Gentiles look at life. We don't look at life based on whether or not you have food or no food or job or no job or whether or not a stupid radio program is successful or not successful or whether something is going your way or not your way. We look at life in the widest possible window. That's my job, is to cause you to look at life in that dimension. If I can't do that, then I have failed, and then I will automatically start preaching phony doctrine. You understand me?
I have to ask you a question about, and I see how this must be true, and I've arrived at this place before, and I always get confused. When you say, your mind is the mortal enemy, I can stand in one place and see how that's so. And if I look at myself again for a second, I'm instantly, utterly confused.
Okay.
Because I don't know what to do then.
Okay, then what you do is abandon yourself. That's always what you do. You turn from self. Say, okay, self, I mean... Look,
okay,
we're going to...
I mean, it may be stupid. Go ahead and say it that way. Okay, self. Mm-hmm.
No. Again, I keep telling you that I don't care if you have to remind yourself 100,000 times a day. I am crucified with Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I no longer live life in the flesh by the faith of or by the perception of my senses. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You don't even have to know you're doing that. You understand? The battlefield is here. We're going to get into this. This is some good stuff in a minute. Okay, in 2 Kings 11, it's another attempt. Don't go there, but it's another attempt to destroy the royal seed. In Esther, Haman was going to destroy the whole people to get the royal seed. Of course, Herod, Satan in the guise of Herod, instantly was going to destroy. The moment that Christ was born, they killed all the babies in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. I mean, can you visualize that kind of a slaughter? Can you visualize in what would happen in Dallas today if a decree went forth from some ruler's office that had absolute control that said every child 2 years old and under would be killed?
I can't see it in a movie, but that's like a catch-up.
It happened over and over and over. That's what this story is about. The battle, the Bible is a story about the conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of woman. That's all it's about. You're not in the Bible. You understand that?
Yeah.
As long as you think you're in the Bible, like that idiot that kept quoting Revelation 3:20 to me about, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He didn't understand. The door he's talking about in that scripture is the Passover door that we are under, covered by the blood. It isn't some stupid little thing that the salvation of the isolated self. You're not in the Bible. Not one of you. Your name isn't written in the book of life. But he has a new name. If you read the book of Revelation, he has a new name for you. And that new name is the bride of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You are no longer part of this world in any dimension. There is no thing in this world that has a hold on you. You are as surely as Christ was transfigured and raised. I mean, when he was taken. What's the word? No. When he ascended, right in front of the disciples, that same process is happening in you. If you could but see it, slowly but surely. You are rising off the earth, and gravity is your mortal enemy. But so is anything on the face of the earth that causes you to be tied to it. That's why Jesus said you cannot come to him unless you hate your mother, hate your father, hate your brother, your sister, your wife, yea, and your own life also. Because if any one of those things is an anchor to the earth, you'll be missed. You will miss the ascension. But that's what this book is about. That's what this star map is about, is one battle. You understand? How do we look at life? We look at life through all of the stars, through all of time. We no longer look at life based on a momentary influence that may affect you. Pull yourself out. As the angel kept saying to John in Revelation, come see. That's all I'm trying to do, to get you to come and look. And that in Martin Luther King's speech, I've been to the top of the mountain, I've seen, and I encourage you and exhort you to come and see. Life isn't what you think it is. That's the only thing that gives me authority to preach. It's because I've seen where we're going. And anybody else that's preaching on any other authority is no preacher. Now, the scholars have spent a lifetime, some scholars, trying to figure out the star charts. And we have all these idiots that run around now, use the star charts. They decide, okay, I was born in this place at this time and in that place. Scorpio, I was born in the sign of Scorpio, and Scorpio is in the sign of Mars, and da-di-da-di-da. And so they've got all these complicated systems that are really another form of sorcery. To define self's future. That's the basis of sorcery. That's the one common denominator of all sorcery. To define self's future. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're using the Bible and you go through and take out little pieces, or you use, as this one guy said, well, I just got a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, and then I've got my own, I built my own God. Well, that's sorcery.
He wrote down what he wanted his God to be.
And the idea that you would still look in this Bible and see you is sorcery. And every time that you end up in sorcery, the Spirit of God places you outside the camp. Instantly. And the moment you're outside the camp, you've got to blame someone. You've got to create alliances. You've got to justify yourself. And it's not done consciously. But it's the Holy Spirit's of work to reveal sorcery. This is how every new denomination was ever formed from the beginning of Christ. By the power of sorcery. They went outside the camp, they were outside the camp, and they created an alliance. And now, but now you see, now modern religion, it's like this levels concept. They're all taught today for the first time, and he drew this, he was telling us he drew this line on the board, and he said, okay, here's where you're right, and maybe it's an A level now or something, you correct me, but up here is where you're going to write, and that's the A level. If you, at the end of class, you still write at this level, you get an F. From God's standpoint, truth has fallen in the streets, and it's been stepped on and stepped on and stepped on. And what has happened is we have, from the beginning, a group of sorcerers that were outside the camp, created an alliance with others that were outside the camp, and called it a denomination.
That would be true even with the Lutheran church?
Doesn't matter. I'm talking about all the way back to the beginning of the apostles. Then next took place somebody in that camp, which was already unclean, had another deal where they disagreed. Now it wasn't unclean by the definition of the term, it was disagreement by mental activity. Then they took with them a bunch of others, and over that disagreement created another denomination. And so now in modern religion, we're 53 stories down from truth.
It's like
the only way that you can return is to go without knowing. No liturgy is correct. No doctrine is correct. No doctrine is justifiable. We have been delivered into a doctrine by which we live. We have not been delivered into a doctrine which we can defend.
I was just thinking that.
You understand that?
No, I'm saying that again.
Excuse me. We have been delivered into a doctrine wherein we live and breathe and have our very existence. We have not been delivered into a doctrine wherein we are supposed to defend it.
So defend air.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about, it didn't matter whether you were one step down or 50.
No, all of them are wrong.
So many steps down, if it wasn't all encompassing.
Oh, they're all wrong.
And you're right. On Sunday, I had to go to church with Mom and Dad, and I get really bored, so I try, to entertain myself when I'm there. And one of the things, you have to recite certain, the liturgy or whatever, and it said something about the stars, and it was just there were little shadows of things that they had a hint that had some importance that it's millions of times removed now. It's really weird. They don't even know what they're talking about.
What you just said did not freak me out or upset me. But I don't understand what you just said. Doctrine within which we live as opposed to a doctrine that can't be defended. What is doctrine?
We can't defend. We use this term doctrine a lot.
What is it?
Teaching.
What is it?
Doctrine is it's the word in the Greek it's didike, and it's a word that it means. I mean, one aspect of it is teaching, but it's not teachable. I can't teach you the doctrine.
I talked to John Bloom one time about this, and he was saying how doctrines get perverted. And I said, well, what do you think? How can you get away from that? He said, every time you teach or preach, that's the doctrine. He said, but as soon as you're finished preaching it, then you just forget about it. Every time you speak, it's the doctrine. Instead of trying to codify it or something.
Rutledge, you know, he was talking about it's like this plasma that we are in, you know. But that's where life is. But I don't understand a bit about having to defend it.
It's not explaining the Eastern mind either.
Eastern mind.
I keep saying last night, you know,
American.
All these things are written to Christ's bride, and if you are not Christ's bride, or you are in the body of people which is Christ's bride, then there's no bride. That's so you're either living it or you're not.
Now, historians that try to figure this out, they talk about the fact that they believe that these signs in their original Genesis had something to do with the cycle of life, i.e. farming.
We're moving on.
Yeah.
Well, I still don't understand what you're talking about.
About what?
The question, the statement you made, we have been delivered into a doctrine within which we live, but we cannot defend it, and I don't understand this.
What don't you understand? Do you think the doctrine is defendable?
I don't know. I don't understand what you said.
It's like the doctrine isn't a new opinion.
The doctrine, yeah. I mean, what is the doctrine? The doctrine is a series of statements that describe the truth of our state.
That's what we try to make it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that's what I try to make.
And that's
the only understanding I have of the word doctrine.
Okay. Well.
Well.
Paul said that we've not that he said the opposite. He said we've been delivered into a doctrine, as opposed to learning a doctrine.
You apprehend that, but.
Yeah, it's like where you get your life, you know, what is your food now? You know, what is your sustenance? You know, ours is different. It's like breathing air. How do you defend air to someone else? It's, you know, if you breathe air and they breathe, you know, that's, you know, the biological changes and all that. You can use as an analogy, but it's, you know, the doctrine, as far as I understand what he's saying, is just our whole life is changed and changing as we see it, and where we get our life is becoming a total different source. Where everybody else gets their life, and so we can't defend that because it's like, you know, they have no concept. Yeah, interesting.
Here's what people try to do, and I've watched every one of you do it. As I talk about a bunch of stuff, and then for three, and if it's really hot, and then for 3 or 4 days or a week, or depending on how hot it was, how long it takes the burn to heal. That's what you try, you think about this. Okay. This is the way now. This is it. Now I got the ticket. Now this is the answer. This is the right key to unlock the mysteries of life. Now, and I don't scream and yell at you very much about it. I just, you know, I let it happen. But what we're about, that's part of the process. You have to go through and you try to use it. And that's what you do. But what we're about is something different. First of all, we're about, for us, life is a systems approach. In other words, everything is integrated. And what we hear is what we see. Now, that's not some off-the-wall spiritual concept. That is, can be proven in all kinds of psychological tests, that what you hear is what you see. That's the nature of the beast. Now, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself automatically, even as he is pure. That's what we're about. We're about seeing Jesus. We're not about learning Jesus.
Is this appropriate then? True doctrine is truth, and truth is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we are delivered into, I can use the words a doctrine, but we are delivered into Jesus Christ.
We're delivered into a person.
And we cannot defend that person.
Amen.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay, again, when historians looked at this, they began to try to figure out, as historians are wont to do, they forget that when this was done, Hebrew, there's no such thing in the Hebrew as history. There's only prophecy. You understand that?
There's no such thing as history?
There's no such thing as for a Hebrew in the Hebrew language. Even the construct of the language in the way that the ancient Hebrews viewed life, there was never such a thing as history. There was only such a thing as prophecy.
Oh, I see.
The book of Genesis is prophecy.
The book of Genesis is prophecy. The book of Kings is prophecy. The book of Deuteronomy is prophecy. It says the reason it's prophecy is it's what's happening in you as you hear it. That's why, conceptually, everything in the Old Testament is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for a process that overrides your reason because you see something different. And what you see is truth. And truth is not... Truth is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, as we see him, we shall be like him automatically. No effort. No work. Everything in the universe is against that. Every little creepy, crawly thing in here, every little battle that's discussed in the scriptures is against that. And no one is more against it than your mind, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. That's all we're talking about. Same story, 1,000 different ways, same story.
That's the first time, it's not more, evil and not evil, good or bad, just instead of.
Yeah.
We've been talking, in Scorpio, we've been talking about inductive versus
deductive.
Is there a deductive mind, and is there an inductive mind, or is it just that induction destroys the deductive mind? Or does that make any sense?
If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ should shine on them, etc., etc. What we call deduction, reason, is the blind.
And the light that shines in
is Revelation.
Amen.
And then the darkness tries to come back.
Right.
And it's like whenever you teach on something new, we get all excited about it, and we're going on and on about it. It's like we look at the star map, and we say, "Oh, that seems like." And then all you're doing is like turning it, and we say, But we see it as something totally new.
It's the same story, though.
It's the same story.
Right. Now, again, so they've tried to explain all these weird things, because they gotta accept them, because they're all from the same source in all cultures and all times. They gotta do something to get a commonality to them. Right? So they say it marks the seasons of sowing, or of reaping, or of fishing, or of hunting, or of cattle cultures. You know, something to do with the natural cycle. Except they come, first of all, that doesn't fit in Egypt. Or it doesn't fit in a lot of the countries. But the biggie, it's disabled when it comes to Scorpio. What the fuck does Scorpio mean? You know, what does that have to do? Well, then, this guy, Abbé Pluchet, and he wrote a book called The History of the Heavens. Aha! He's got it. It is a cycle. But what Scorpio says is when you get sick. In other words, they're trying to take the spiritual reality and apply it to flesh, and the same as modern religion has done with the Bible. So what we have as modern religion is the same exact thing that we have as modern astrology. They're the same.
Wow.
You understand?
Yeah. Yeah. Now you see why they'll kill us?
You know, I mean, serious.
Sorcery.
It's all sorcery. Because it wants to know what self is going to do tomorrow.
It's like a double negative. Tomorrow and self.
Yeah.
And
do. Triple negative.
It's like we watched the Tilton game show today.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That's what I said. It's like a game show.
Okay.
And ultimately, they want to know what self is going to do in the big tomorrow.
That's right. Now, the word Scorpio itself is taken from the root meaning, which means to cleave in conflict or to cleave in battle. And I've told you before about the sting of the scorpion. It's among the most painful stings of anything. It's a pain that permeates your whole body. And it's among the most powerful and most agonizing pain that's known to man, the scorpion. Now,
I'm not talking about the Arizona kind, right? I'm talking about
Middle Eastern.
Well, I mean, all of them hurt. I'm going to come back. Now, again, remember what I've told you before. This sign marks the beginning of something.
Scorpio does?
Yeah, up till now, it didn't have any creepy crawly things. It was Jesus himself or the Virgin. You understand? Now, with Scorpio, it marks the beginning of the conflict. Now, as we'll see from now on, this sign and its all of its decans represent the desired one in conflict with serpents, with scorpions, with asps, with dragons, and all deadly venomous things. In Egypt, back to the Egyptian zodiac, this sign is represented by a monster serpent. His name is Typhon. Or Python. That's where they get the name Python. He is a 100-headed serpent. Does that sound familiar? It's a serpent with 100 heads. Each of them have an aspect which is destructive to part of the myth. Now, how many different ways has the enemy deceived you? Do you see what I'm saying? That's what we're going to see when we get into Hercules and all these other guys here in a minute. We're going to get into myth more. But we're going to see that all of those myths are about this one subject, the conflict of the seed of woman with the seed of the serpent. It's the only thing that's going on in life.
Is this point right here, this is like, before this, it's Jesus, he's coming, and he's born, and then the death is like his baptism, and then now it's like in the wilderness where he was.
Well, no, don't try to be linear.
Okay.
All of these stand by themselves.
Each
of them tell the same story in a different aspect. You understand? Now, I'm going to depart a minute because I want to read you something.
Socrates, Peter's writing a letter to you. He's calling you something. He says you are elect. You are elect. That means you're chosen, you're special, you're everything. You're elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Only grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, it is not time dependent, reserved for you. You are now kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness or depressed through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, we're going to see, I'm not going to, there's too much here, I can't complete it tonight, but we're going to see, I've told you all 1,000 times that it's finished. I've told you all that your warfare is completed, that in quietness and confidence you shall be delivered. I've told you all that the warfare is nothing against you can see, it's just against your mind. Well, we're going to see through the star charts and through the associated scriptures that either the star maps, the stars, and the Bible and me are totally and completely in error, or else the works of the devil have been destroyed. There's no other position that you can come to. And if everything, the works of the devil include all of the works of the flesh, all pain, all hunger, all suffering, all of them have been destroyed. That's either true or it's not true. If it's true, then you have to come to a position, if you can accept for an instant that it's true, then your mind and you're inexorably changed. Because now you will have no excuse every time you want to change yourself. And you will see that it's finished. That's what all this is about. Everything other than the definition of being finished and the finishedness is sorcery. It doesn't matter whether it goes under the guise of astrology or modern religion or science. Whatever it is, in the spirit, it's sorcery because it denies finishedness. It's trying to duplicate that finishedness through some other path. It's trying to get into the door, into the sheepfold by some other door, or some, climbing over the sheepfold rather than going through the door.
Well, the test that's going on in each one of us,
where does that fit in relationship to the finishedness?
Because God doesn't want you. There's the, that life in you is perfect.
That's the completion.
It's completed, but He doesn't. But it's untested. So it'll come against everything, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, will come against it in every dimension, trying to prove to you that it isn't finished. And as long as you think there's something left to be done, then you deny the finished. You deny the cross. I mean, I've said this in a thousand ways, but that's what the stars say. Every time we look at the stars, when we see Orion, we'll see Hercules, we'll see Scorpio, we'll see the Pleiades, we'll see the North Star, we'll see all of these, and as we learn more and more and more of this, every single time we look at the sky, there will be something in the sky to remind us of the finishedness. Every single time we see a meteor shower or a falling star, it'll remind us that Satan is fallen and destroyed as if he were burned up and is nothing. Those simple, or that simple concept, will be the basis upon which you will be hated of all men. That wonderful and exciting message that it's finished will cause you to be hated of all men. Interestingly enough, the real place that will cause you to be hated most is your own mind.
What do you mean?
Well, that's where you'll hate it most. The mind, your mind is the mortal enemy of everything I've said to you tonight.
Oh, you mean the hate? It'll
you have to hate your own life also.
The mind says it's not finished.
Yeah. And it's that, the life there, the word for life, Jesus gave up his life, he laid down his life for the brethren. But it says also he gave up his life to the Father. Two different words. One is he gave the spirit to the Father and he gave his soul to the brother. And that's the mystery. That's how it's all worked out. That's the arena. That's why. I mean.
That's why it's finished, because your spirit's with the Father.
Yeah.
Let me go back to when we were talking about induction and deduction. Tonight, I mean, I know in me and I can feel it in others that tonight this inductive thing has shined into, and as we leave here, what inevitably happens is that darkness tries to come.
Okay, now listen. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shined in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. That's what we're about. That's why the exhortation is that you take heed only to that light shining in the dark place that each of you have seen.
This is weird. This is like the grand adventure. You know, I mean, you come to this little residential street, you hear the preaching, and it's in the midst of, you know, consensus life, and it's like the biggest acid trip you couldn't even imagine. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's so it's for me it's like it's the juxtaposition of the two realities is it's like being on a rack, you know.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't understand that.
Well, it's sort of like living in a 1984 kind of society, and we sneak away into this basement someplace where this guy tells us true stuff, and then when it's over, we go back out into that
84?
Chaos.
1984 society?
Well, Daryl understands that.
Oh, 1984.
Orwellian society.
Strike that, Orwellian.
It's like Jackie went to school today, and she said she came on, and you know, it's like being out in the world again. You know.
I've been taking home all summer.
But now, fear not, for he is overcome.
No, it was great. I mean, first, like, the teacher's really weird guy, and he's like, he's really lust after women and stuff. And I was kind of freaked out about it, but then
that's
I started
weird.
Saying,
Sherry, are you in his class?
No.
I mean, at least Daryl's attractive.
But, what?
But I was just saying. Okay, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ because I was feeling really kind of weird then. But I'm still feeling weird about this guy and kind of not like him and being mad at him and stuff. And he's got this authority over me. He's my teacher. And then I started really. So is he. He's crucified with Christ. And so I was like, so where does that leave? You know, it's just like, you know, my perception of who he is or where he is doesn't change the fact of what his actual state is. And that kind of just blew everything away. Blew out the circuits of feeling weird about that. Anyway.
In the world you shall have tribulation, but fear not, for he said, I have overcome the world, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. He either succeeded or he didn't. If he didn't succeed, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here.
If he didn't succeed,
if he didn't succeed, you're wasting my time. If you don't see that he succeeded, if you don't accept that, you're wasting my time. Just go home. If you believe he succeeded, and he destroyed the works of the flesh, the works of the devil, he would destroy everything. Then I'll talk to you. Because then it's your mind, it's this evil one that has resurrected himself from the deadly head wound in the temple. And it always wants, it'll always try to make things different. And it's so subtle, it always wants to, in God's name, make things different. And God says, you accept me now. I am the author and the finisher of all things. You see me in you, in this, now. No longer coveting. No longer spiritual covetousness. And then you remain in that position wherein you're called. The mystery takes place. Before your very eyes, your mind is transformed. And you see God as all in all, instead of seeing, oh, I should be this way, or I should be that way, or they should be this way, or they should be this way. And believe it or not, that's what the star map tells us, and that's what this ugly scorpion is going to tell us when we meet Wednesday.
Hi, kids.
Take it, big guy.
It must be important.